This morning, before I start preaching, I like to promote my book. I promoted this last week in the main church, My Journey with God for the past 50 years. Now I've been serving God full time in the church for so long, and I'm really getting old. And a lot of my secrets are revealed in this short book. And I'd like to really encourage you, get a copy, not just for yourself, buy more and give it to your friends and staff. Give it to them. If they are Christian, they'll be blessed by reading this book. And if they are non-believer, they will be encouraged to see what God, our God, is actually doing. Inside this book, we'll also reveal to you how we managed to collect $1.5 million for this building and how I raised $497,000 from my ang pao for my 50th birthday for this building. Everything is revealed inside this book. And if you follow me on Facebook, you'll notice that a lot of people have been writing comments about this book, and some privately texted me. And I just like to read just a few to encourage you to purchase the book. Okay, but please take note that all the proceeds of the sale will go to the church. I don't get a cent out of this book. There was this pastor from the AG Church. AG means the Assembly of God Church. And he said, "Thank you, Pastor, so much for writing down your journey with God. Your story is most inspiring. It is a spiritual story from rag to riches, from a humble, poor Christian to a spiritual giant of stature, wisdom, and success. And thank you very much also for sharing your biblical and practical wisdom to pastors and members. And your book is so easy to read. Heartwarming, uplifting, God-centered. God is alive in your life and glorify the Lord. And this book will be a great blessing to the body of Christ, not only to the Baptist churches." Then another sister say, "Pastor John, I finished reading your book yesterday and I bought several copies on Sunday. My two kids excitedly wanted to give away the book to their friends, but I told them to read it first before giving it away. Your book is light and easy. The reader will feel happy and will have a sense of achievement after reading the book in a short time. And your writing style is authentic and down to earth, partly because of in my 8 years in Calvary Baptist Church, kind of familiar with your preaching lingo. And as I was reading on how your mom accepted the Lord as her Savior, I pray that God will move the heart of my father-in-law to read your book as I pass a copy of your book to him. And we are praying hard, Pastor John, for his salvation. So kudos, Pastor John. You are the person who walk your talk. Keep it up and be an inspiration to others. Let's move on forward for the Lord Jesus Christ." And another sister from my CG, "Congratulations on the wonderful book. This book is beautifully written and a touch of humor and honesty, truly inspiring, and enjoy every moment reading it. May your book touch many lives as it has blessed my life." Now, there are so many good comments about this book, and I want to encourage you to buy. There was a mother who told me, "My son has been fighting with me over reading this book. I'm struggling to find time to read your book because he's holding my the book that I purchased." So, friends, it's not about me. It's about my journey with God and how God has blessed my life throughout the 50 years as I serve with the church here for that many years. So, now if you buy the book, I sign and take picture, you pay $30. How about that? I think some of you already purchased it for $15, got the signature and pictures as well for $15. No, just kidding. It's $15. With signature, with picture, whatever, it's still $15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we can hear the preaching of your word. Lord, speak to us your word and help us hear from you what you want us to learn this morning. We just want to commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today we are looking at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And we find the story of Jesus coming to the tomb of Lazarus, who had died and been in the tomb for 4 days. For how many days? 4 days. And in the last message, we found that Jesus had been notified of the fact that Lazarus was sick but had delayed his coming. You know, the scripture text tells us last week, as we, last sermon, John chapter 11, verse 6, "Yet when he," Jesus, "heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. And it is really hard to believe that Jesus deliberately waited, knowing that his friend, his dear friend, the one that he loved, was sick, or in this case, dead. And nevertheless, the Bible tells us that he stayed where he was for 2 more days. And John recorded for us in John chapter 11, verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And I, or we, would all expect Jesus to immediately say to the disciples, quickly, let's rush over and see him before he dies. Or I, or we would all do that, right? It is normal, especially when someone who is close to us, someone that is, that we love, is going to pass away. So let us now, this morning, continue the story in verse 20. If you have your Bible, look at John chapter 11, looking at verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Here we see the reaction of Martha and Mary when they heard that Jesus was coming. And we can see similar reaction and dissimilar reaction from both sisters. You notice the contrast given to us in verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Martha went out to meet Jesus, Mary stayed at home. But notice the similarity of the initial greetings. In verse 21, Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 32, this is Mary respond. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Notice that their words are the same. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You notice that their words may be the same, but not their posture. Martha went out to meet him standing. Mary falls at his feet, prostrating. She fell at his feet. Now, Martha engaged Jesus in a theological debate. She was most probably angry and confused and hurt and crushed. And she said to Jesus, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. And when Jesus told her in verse 23, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. But for Mary, she was totally emotional. She needed emotional support, and she was mourning, she was weeping over the loss of her brother who had died. Martha needed to know that Jesus was still in control. Mary needed to know that Jesus cared. And either response, to me, they are both normal. When we lose a loved one, someone that we love, our family members, maybe our parents, or maybe our brother or sister, our siblings, or whatever, we can be angry, and we can be hurt and confused and even crushed, and we can even mourn and weep and even cry. Or we can be like both sisters, Martha and Mary, wondering about the famous word, if. Lord, if. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Have you ever asked that if only question in time of crisis and loss? Those two regretful words. If only I have not moved into this house. If only I have not married him. I hope it's not true, okay, now that you are married. If only I had listened to my parents. If only we had bought more houses 30 years ago, we would be multimillionaire now. If only I had emigrated earlier. Brothers and sisters and friends, what are your if only?
No, maybe some of you, if only I were the son of Lim Go Tong, how we wish. Or if only my wife was Jennifer Lopez, isn't she pretty? My wife is not here, okay? I think she's outside. Okay. To Martha and Mary in their time of loss, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. They went to Jesus and poured out their hearts to Jesus. And I don't think that they did anything wrong. And Jesus did not rebuke them at all. If you look at the text, he met both of them where they were, whether they are standing or they are portraying, or whether they needed emotional support or intellectual support. And Jesus did not tell them, stop crying. Take out your tissue box and wipe away your tears. You don't find it in the scripture. Jesus did not even question them and say, don't you trust me? I am the resurrection and the life. It's not in my Bible. In fact, Jesus himself, when he saw Mary weeping, the Bible tells us that he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled too. And in verse 35, the shortest verse in the Bible is only two words. Jesus wept. John chapter 11, verse 35. And when the Jews saw that, they said, see how Jesus loved Lazarus. Our brothers and sisters, I know it's Chinese New Year, but just over, it's okay. You don't talk about funeral, you don't talk about death, you don't talk about the bad thing we Chinese say. You talk about it, they follow you throughout the whole year, so you have a bad year. Okay, I don't believe that, okay? But for many of us, we need to know that in every funeral, it is actually normal to see people, Christian also, cry and be emotional. It is not a sign of disobedience or lack of faith. I heard of a Christian in a funeral telling another Christian not to cry because his loved one was now in heaven. No, please don't. Please don't stop people or tell people to stop crying in a funeral because it is okay to express our emotion over the loss. Now coming back to the story here, Jesus said to Martha in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And here we have the fifth of the I am statement in the book of John. I am the bread of life in John chapter 6 verse 35. I am the light of the world, John chapter 8 verse 12. I am the gate, John chapter 10 verse 9. I am the good shepherd, John chapter 10 verse 11. And here, I am the resurrection and the life, John chapter 11 verse 25. It is important to note that Jesus did not deny what Martha said about the future resurrection. But in this great I am statement, the doctrine of the resurrection brought great comfort to Martha's heart, that death is not the end and that there is hope beyond the grave in the future. And Martha was actually looking to the future, knowing that her brother Lazarus would rise again and that she would see him. So when Jesus asked her, do you believe this? You know what she said? Yes, Lord. She told him, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who was to come into the world. She was actually thinking about the future. But Jesus was trying to get her attention on the present. Listen to me. God's resurrection power is available now. N-O-W, now. Do you believe this? Jesus asked Martha. And Martha responded, yes, Lord, I believe this will happen in the future. But in the heart, she is thinking not in the present. How do I know? Skip down to verse 38. Jesus came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone lay across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. And do you know what Martha replied? But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is bad odor, for he had been there 4 days. Remember? Martha was the one who said, yes, Lord. She told Jesus, I believe. She was the one who declared her faith, but now she was worrying about the unpleasant odor, the smell, the bad odor, the bad smell of the dead body. Now, as a pastor, I've conducted so many funerals. And there are some funerals that did smell. Now, once I received news that one of our member sister died, and the funeral was held in Ipoh, and I was there for a meeting. So I went after my meeting around 10 p.m., and upon reaching my destination, I parked my car at a distance. And as I walked toward the house, I could smell the odor, the bad smell of the dead body from far, far away. It was unpleasant. It did not smell like any of the perfume that we put on. It smells horrible. It smells terrible. And I had to immediately inform the family members to instruct the caretaker to embalm the body immediately. And I don't blame Martha for saying that, because a dead body, I had experienced that. Even after a few days, after 4 days, there would be a bad smell, odor of the dead body. And those days, they did not embalm the dead body to preserve the body. Yes, Lord, Martha told Jesus, I believe. But Lord, by this time, there is a bad odor, smell, for he had been dead there for 4 days. Verse 40. Then Jesus gently reminded her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? You know, immediately Martha relented, and then the stone was rolled away, so they took away the stone. And at this time, we can all imagine all the people there, and if we were there too, or if you were there too, you will cover your nose, expecting a very bad smell and not believing anything to happen. Am I correct? So let's read on. Verse 41. Look at your scripture text. Verse 41 to verse 44. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I say this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strip of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Friends and sisters, this is like a ghost story. You know, a ghost story we see in the movies. The dead comes out of the grave. The hand, the feet are wrapped up with strip of linen and the face covered with cloth around it. And again, we can imagine if we were there, we will most probably be frightened. Or maybe some of you may run for your life. I'm not too sure what you would do. Okay. Someone told me that everyone is afraid of ghosts. I'm not too sure whether I should ask you to raise your hand or not. Okay. Someone actually told me that. Everyone, including pastor, this person told me. But I actually heard a pastor who said it publicly. If I see a ghost, I will invite the ghost to join me for dinner. Big words. Wait until he really see a ghost. Then I hope he say it again. And I was once asked to help a Christian school. And I won't tell you which one, okay? Otherwise, you won't send your child there. And I was asked by the owner not to reveal the school to anyone. Okay, the only thing I can reveal to you is not in Kuala Lumpur, it's in PJ. Okay. And at midnight, not one guard, but three guards at different places, different time, saw a headless body walking around the school. And once, one of them saw this headless body playing the piano. Is your hair coming up from your head? Are you scared? No, I'm not trying to frighten you, but anyway, I was asked to go and say a prayer for the school, and I praised the Lord and thanked the Lord. After prayer, the headless body would never appear again. Maybe I should continue book two. Someone asked me, Pastor, you must continue book two. So maybe I should write my encounter with the evil spirit. So today's message, of course, is not about ghost story. But if you ask Pastor John, do you believe in ghosts? What do you think I would tell you? Yes? No? Don't know? Everyone very excitedly waiting for the answer. Is it? Do I, Pastor John, believe in ghosts? And my answer to you is no. N-O, very straight, is N-O, no. And if you ever see a ghost, you can be assured it is not the disease that you are seeing or someone who died that was known to you. To come back, the Chinese say, to settle some unfinished business or to give us some last word, or some non-Christian will say, to give us number to buy. 1962, the date of my birth, the year of my birth, or 1934 is my car number plate. You know? Or to come back and they say for revenge. I want to say this to you here, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not possible. Not possible. Why do I say that? The so-called ghost is positively an evil spirit that is imitating the dead person. The Bible tells us that there are wicked spirits in high places that are under the control of Satan, who is called the prince of the power of the air. And this evil spirit have no power whatsoever over the believer of Jesus Christ. They cannot harm us because we are under the divine protection of God Almighty. And the Bible tells us so clearly that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. It's given to us in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. You know, my in-laws, especially my late mother-in-law, was a very strict Buddhist. And she knows that I go and demolish idols, cast out idols, deal with evil spirit. And she will always say this to me, don't you ever do it. And she will softly tell me, get your assistant to do it. I will have to ask Pastor Kayla, all these people to go instead. And the reason being, she said, you be careful because if you touch them, your hand will be chopped off, your leg will be chopped off in accident or whatsoever. But brother and sister, I should write a book on this. 50 years later, my hand is still intact. My hand is still intact. And I've dealt with many, many evil spirits that I've cast out, and I've dealt with it face to face, and I've cast out the evil spirit. And no harm, danger have come upon me because the Bible text says so clearly, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Okay, so coming back to this story, this raising of Lazarus from the dead is actually no ghost story. This is another miracle performed by Jesus by raising him from the dead. So let us look at it closely and see how Jesus performed this miracle and how Lazarus came forth. Let's begin with the first question. How did Jesus perform the miracle? One, he looked up. Okay, he looked up to God, the Almighty and powerful God. He did not look down or look around. He looked up to his heavenly Father. And then two, he thanked God for answered prayer. He said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. And then three, he was specific in his instruction and he called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. You know, that is very important because if Jesus had not been specific and named Lazarus when he shouted, he would have emptied the whole cemetery. Your loved one and my loved one would have come out also. That's why the text is so crucial, important for us to know Lazarus, the name is specifically mentioned as he called Lazarus to come out. And then four, he performed this miracle so that the people standing there may believe. Look at verse 42. I say this for the benefit of the people standing here that they may believe that you sent me. It was for the faith of the spectators, those standing there, those who had come to comfort Martha and Mary. And the outcome was incredible. If you look down to verse 45, because it says that, therefore, many of the Jews have come to visit Mary and have seen what Jesus did. What does it say? Put their faith in him. Put their faith in Jesus Christ. Did you see that? This miracle was not to glorify himself or to promote himself, but rather it was for the sake of the unbelieving spectators so that they may all come to know Jesus Christ, that God the Father had sent him. So how did he perform this miracle? Remember, he looked up, he thanked God for answers prayer, he was specific in his instruction, and he performed this miracle so that people standing there may believe. So now let's look at how Lazarus came forth. Did he hop out? Did he jump out like what we usually see in a ghost movie? Okay, look at verse 44. The dead man came out, his hand and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. He was still totally bounded from top to bottom, and he could not walk, nor stand, nor even hop. So how did he come out of the tomb? How could he even walk to the door of the tomb? His face was totally covered. That means he could not even see. Let's do some tests. Ask someone to blindfold you after the service, and then you walk out to that door and shake my hand, or maybe buy my book. Okay, if you don't believe me, you dare not do it in the church, you go home and do it, okay? Ask your family members to blind you with linen from top to the bottom and even around your face. Then lay you on the floor and see if you can get up and move to the kitchen. But before that, make sure you have bought your life insurance. It is not possible. It's not possible for Lazarus to come out by himself. But at the call of Jesus Christ, by God's power, it happened, and Lazarus came out with his hand and feet still wrapped with strip of linen and a cloth around his face. And to prove that this is an unquestioned miracle, Jesus to say to them now, take off the grave clothes then and let him go. Brothers and sisters, what can we learn from this story of the raising from the dead? And there are a couple of lessons. One, being a Christian does not mean that we will not or never go through any storm, like losing a loved one. And this is a family. We know it's a family. It's Martha, Mary, and Lazarus that loved God and was loved by Jesus. And they had special and close relationship with one another and with Jesus too. And we can even say that their home was filled with love among them. But their relationship could not stop tragedy from striking their home. Sickness and then death hit them. Lazarus died. Brothers and sisters and even friends here, going through any storm like sickness and death are normal trials that even as Christian we go through in life. It does not mean that as Christian we don't go through any storm. Our loved one won't die. That is not true. Then two, whenever a storm enters our lives that is bigger than our capacity to handle, take it to the Lord in prayer. The two sisters, Martha and Mary, sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one that you love is sick. And that was their desperate attempt to deal with the storm that was bigger than anything they could cope with. Brothers and sisters, even friends in our midst this morning, are you going through any storm in your life today? Take it to the Lord in prayer. And then three, it's okay to be transparent before God in times of storm. Martha engaged Jesus in a theological debate, and she was most probably angry and hurt and confused and crushed. And Mary was weeping and mourning and crying too, and she was sad and hurt. And both of them even make this emotional statement, "Lord, if you only had been there, my brother would not have died." Brothers and sisters and friends, in times of storm, we do not need to suppress our emotion. We are not robots. And even Jesus, when he heard of Lazarus' death, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled too. And the Bible tells us that he even shed tears. John chapter 11, 35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. And then four, nothing is too hard for God. He has turned the water into wine, John chapter 2. He has healed the son of the official of Capernaum, was close to death in John chapter 4. He has healed the man who was lame, John chapter 5. He has healed the sick, John chapter 6. He has fed the multitude in John chapter 6 also. He has healed the blind, John chapter 9. And now he has raised the dead in John chapter 11. Is there still anything too difficult for him? Brothers and sisters and friends, yes, your situation may seem hopeless beyond repair and even impossible, but the text tells us that nothing, no one seems to be able to help you, but God can. Remember this, we serve a God who can turn a hopeless situation around, and we serve a God here that specializes in the impossible. And if this is what you're going through today, in your desperation, in your trouble, in your hopelessness, no matter how hard, how tough, how bad or hopeless it may be, it is not over. It is not over until God says it is over. Remember this. Not over until God says it's over. God can still turn a hopeless situation around. And nothing is too hard for him. And then five, God is always in control. As we walk through the entire Lazarus story account here, we see that bad things can happen to good people for the glory of God. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, they were good people. They were loving family. They all loved Jesus. But for the people to come to know God and for God to get the glory, and family may have to go through a tremendous, painful ordeal. Lazarus had to experience sickness and eventual death for 4 days. And Martha and Mary had to experience the loss of their brother and the hurt in knowing that Jesus had received the word of their brother's sickness but decided to stay back. God permitted this tragedy to enter into this family life, and remember that these were people that he loved. Brothers and sisters and friends, the situation, this story at the beginning seemed bad and hopeless, and nothing seems to be smooth. Sickness, then Jesus refused to come immediately, then followed by death, then followed by funeral. And then Jesus told them to remove the stone after Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. God is still in control and is always in control. And the end result was for the glory of God. The glory of God. It was for the faith of the spectators, those standing there, those who had come to comfort Martha and Mary, and many of them who had seen what Jesus did, put their faith in Jesus Christ. And then lastly, six, the righteous will be raised at the end of the age and loved ones will be reunited. Martha understood the future resurrection in the last day. Death is not the end of everything. There is life after death. The body will one day be raised by the power of God. And for us Christian, we will have a reunion party in heaven with our loved one. We have gone ahead. And this reunion, and resurrection in the last days is another sermon. But as we come to the end of this sermon, I want to end with this remarkable statement made by Jesus back in 25:26. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. You may look at this text and look at it strangely. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. Yes, we will all one day die. That's for sure. You will die, I will die, every one of us, we will have to die because life is unpredictable. We don't even know what will happen today. We don't even know what will happen next week or next year. And life is brief. Our lives is like a meme that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Jesus affirms that believer will one day be raised from the dead. But I want you to look at verse 26. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Now, Jesus immediately revealed that some believers will never die. How is it possible? And the answer is actually given to us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When Jesus Christ returned in the air to take his people home, this is the rapture. And those who are alive at his coming shall never die. If you are afraid of dying, then you better start praying for the rapture. Because today we are all confronted with the stark reality of death, and every one of us, we will have to face death, like it or not. And the writer of Hebrews states in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, he says, just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. You see, if a man or a woman had to do was to live and then die, that would not be so hard. We would just go and enjoy ourselves and eat, drink, and be merry and do whatever we like and would not be confronted with the reality of life after death. But I'm sorry to say this to you. The Bible makes it clear here that after that, see the word? After that, to face judgment. To face judgment. And if that is so, then we better think of our destiny at the end of life. Where would we be going? And the answer is either up or down. It's either heaven or hell. Or if you are like Thomas who asks in John chapter 14, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the way to eternal life. This is the only way to eternal life. Believe in Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And in verse 26, Jesus asked Martha, do you believe? And in verse 42, he prayed that the crowd of mourners may believe as well. And today, this morning, he's asking you the same question. The same question he asked. Do you believe? Do you believe? Let's close with prayer. Father, we ask that you help us to make the decision to believe. Because the day will come that when we leave this place or when we die, we will have to face judgment to come. And also, we have to know right now, while we are still alive, we are still living, where would we be going? Is heaven or hell, or is up or down? And Lord, may you help us make the wise decision to choose heaven, choose eternal life, and to choose to believe in Jesus Christ. And just as you ask Martha, do you believe? Lord, this morning, you are asking us the same question. Do we believe? Just as you ask a multitude, when they saw what you did, to believe, and many make decision to believe in Jesus Christ. And this morning, you are asking the same question here in our congregation. Friends, do you believe? Do you believe that he is the resurrection and the life? That you can put your faith and trust in him? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me.
Friends, just in case you are here, seated down with us, an unbeliever, you have never made the decision to believe in Jesus Christ, God is asking you, do you believe? And if you would want to believe this morning, just wherever you are seated, all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, just quietly raise your hand high and I just want to say a prayer for you. If you would want to believe, you are an unbeliever, you have never made the decision to believe in Jesus, and this morning the word have spoken, Holy Spirit touched you, you would want to believe, just raise your hand high, wherever you are. I want to say a prayer for you this morning. Is there be anyone here in our congregation? Praise the Lord, I see a sister. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else you want to believe this morning? Father, heaven rejoices over one decision that raised the hand to believe. To believe just as the multitude have believed and they saw what Jesus had done. And today, she believed because she have heard your word and your word has spoken. Help her to know you deeply and walk with you. And also, Father, for many seated down here, just in case we still have one or two who have yet to believe in Jesus, may you also touch them and speak to them that they too may believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you for your word this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.